It's good to be back with you all this evening. Appreciate all of you coming out and enduring the cold. The temperature keeps dropping, and a number of our brethren are out taking care of livestock and things of that and on the road. We'll keep all of them in our prayers. We're glad you're with us. We have a lot of people on Zoom tonight. Glad they're with us as well. Go ahead and get your Bible out. Turn to Psalm 85. Song we just sang, we're going to look at that tonight, do a hymn study. And Psalm 85, 6 is the scripture that was used there at the beginning of that. We're going to read just a little bit of Psalm 85, and then we'll get into our study of the hymn. So Psalm 85, I'm going to get in verse 4 with you. Verse 6 is the one in the book there. But Psalm 85, verse 4 says, "Restore us again, O God of our salvation. And put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation." Lord willing, in a few months we're going to look at Psalm 85 in detail. But again, this one verse, verse 6, "Revive us again," is, again, a reference to our hymn. And we do a hymn study every month. As the year is starting off, the beginning of a new year, I'm probably thinking about things, you're thinking about things, new things we can do this year as we labor together in the kingdom. It's a good time to reflect, to dream, to stir each other up, to growth, and to zeal. And again, we've been singing tonight, talking about this today, as those who have been redeemed in Jesus, we should be thankful people. We should be joyful people. And again, the older I get, the longer I live, the more I need to be reminded about that, because sometimes things are hard and difficult, and it's easy to lose sight of that. But no matter what is happening to you or to me, if we are in Jesus, then we always have something to be thankful for. We always have something to be joyful about. And that is a blessing indeed. Paul in Ephesians 2 reminded the Ephesian brethren, talking about this a little bit this morning. He says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us." And we were reading this morning about that, right? He made us alive in Christ. By grace we have been saved. We have been cleansed. We have been redeemed. And so we have something to be thankful for, joyful for. But sometimes, as I said, we get discouraged. We get distracted from that truth. Or maybe we get guilt-ridden at times because we fail the Lord. And in those times, we need to ask God what the psalmist is talking about here. Revive us. Revive us again. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice? And again, the psalmist is talking about, they know they've sinned, but they're asking God to turn back to them. And this word revive, I was looking at it this afternoon again, it means to bring to life. To bring to life. And that's what God did for us in Christ. And sometimes, you and I, we need to ask God to revive us again, to renew us again, to stir us up again. Hebrews talks about that. We encourage each other as long as it is today, that we don't get hardened, that we don't give up, but that we keep looking to Jesus. So tonight I want to reflect on this hymn, "Revive Us Again." And if you're familiar with the hymn, I can't remember what it looks like in Sacred Selections, but there are more than three verses. We're going to look at the original hymn And so, again, I think there's a lot there for us to think about, a lot to be praising God about to be stirred up. And so let's begin diving into the hymn, Praise for the Father. That's how the hymn starts out. It says, we praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Again, praising God for the gift of His Son. And again, this is something that you and I can do no matter what, no matter when. We can praise God for the gift of Jesus, because Scripture tells us that God, out of His great love, as Paul said, His great mercy for His creation, God was moved to offer up Jesus to die for your sins, to die for my sins. Again, God so loved the world, He showed that in the death of Jesus. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And so God made that manifest. And that He offered up His only Son to die for the ungodly. Again, it's truly amazing. Romans 5 talks about that. And we should praise God for that. For loving us despite our sin. For allowing Jesus to die so that we might be reconciled to Him. So that we might have eternal life in Him, even though we're unworthy of His love. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Jesus died, but He didn't stay dead, did He? He was in that grave 3 days and three nights, and then on that glorious resurrection morning, God raised Him from the dead. He was declared to be the Son of God in power by the Spirit in His resurrection. God raised Him up so we might know that He loves us. We might know that He wants to reconcile to us. That we might know that in Jesus we have eternal life. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, so important to you and me. We have that anchor to hold on to. Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you stand. And by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And that He appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, and most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And then He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, and worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach it, so you believe. Paul says Jesus was raised, and God testified to that. God prophesied that, and God confirmed that with eyewitnesses. You can believe it. You can trust in it. And Paul said he worked hard because of that. He labored hard, but not him, but God's grace in him. So God has raised him up. And he has now gone above. They watched him go, right? Remember that? Book of Acts. They watched him go. He's at the right hand of the Father, Hebrews says, interceding for us right now. Right now. He has gone above. Still working for you and for me. May we continue to be moved to praise God until the Lord comes again. So the hymn calls us to praise the Father. It calls us to praise the Spirit. Again, let's look at this second stanza in the original hymn. It says, we praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Again, I love the imagery in this verse. We'll dig into it in a moment. But again, we join together in this verse, praising God for the gift and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's something we, again, can be thankful for, that we can take comfort in, that we can rejoice in. Again, Jesus said he was the comforter, right? That's what the Spirit was supposed to do. For the apostles, originally, but then also to you and to me. And so during his earthly ministry, Jesus spoke about this gift that the Father was going to give. The Spirit was going to be sent. Again, the Old Testament, he shows up all over the place, but he never stays with people all the time. The new covenant is going to be different. Not just certain people, but God says all will receive. And in John 7, again, Jesus, on the last day of the feast, it says, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus talked about this. The Spirit. And of course the disciples, the apostles in particular, get this gift from the Spirit, coming to them, guiding them, encouraging them, revealing to them all the things that Jesus said. John 14, John 15, John 16, Jesus talked about that. He would comfort them, he would teach them, he would remind them of everything that he said. And of course, they write this down, don't they? They preach it, they teach it. It's recorded. We know the Spirit revealed the mind of God to you and to me through their words. And through the gospel of Christ, the Spirit works. As we sang, the Spirit who has shown us our Savior revealed him to us, confirmed through the work of the apostles, again, the gospel of Jesus, and again, recorded these words for us so that we can know, we can believe, we can walk, we can do the good works that God wants us to do, scattered our night. Brought the light of the gospel to you and to me. As Paul said in Ephesians, and we read what he has written, we can perceive, we can understand the mystery of the gospel. The gospel is God's good news for all people, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles, for every human being. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul talked about how the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers. But if we would just listen to what the Spirit has said in the Word, the light can come in. The darkness can be scattered. We can see. We can know. And we can come to Jesus. We can obey the gospel. We baptize into Christ, become a child of God. And when we do that, God promises we will receive the gift of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2. Again, we have that assurance. We are sealed with the Spirit. A down payment of our inheritance. In Romans chapter 8, Paul, again, talks about this. And the importance it is to you and me to know that God is with us and blessing us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, Paul says, you, however, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Again, Jesus is now gone above. Jesus is interceding for us. And Paul talks about the Spirit, right, with us, interceding for us. He'll go on to talk about him helping us in our prayers. We can't sometimes know what to say, but the Spirit helps us with our weaknesses. The Spirit helps us through the Word to be able to bear the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. So I pray you and I will praise God for that. Thank God for that. Remember that. May we yield to the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit so we can bring God glory. Ephesians 5, Paul, again, connects singing to that, right? Don't be drunk, Paul says, but be filled with the Spirit. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Again, we help each other be influenced in that way. So praise God for the Spirit. So we talked about God the Father. We're praising Him for the gift of His Son. We praise God for the Spirit. Of course, we've got to talk about the Lamb, don't we? For Jesus. Praise for the Lamb. The third stanza in the hymn says, all glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. That's a powerful verse right there. Who's borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Scripture says that Jesus is the Lamb of God, right? John chapter 1. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John the Baptist said. And 1 John, John says He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but the whole world. Oh, that they would know that they would see that they would believe that. But we know. We know. Praise God for Jesus doing that. For dying for us, even though we don't deserve it at all. Again, by the mouth of the prophets, God had foretold that He would send one, right? Who would bear our sins. Isaiah 53 talks about that. Bear our iniquities. Be numbered with the transgressors. And again, the Jews reading that, they're thinking about just them. But it was bigger than them, greater than them. Every person. And by His precious blood, we can be cleansed of our sins. We can be reconciled to God. Paul in Colossians says that through the blood of Jesus, God will reconcile everything to Himself in the cross. And in 1 Peter, Peter reminds the brethren about this gift, about the precious blood of Jesus, and that again reminds them to live for Jesus, to endure their struggles, to not forget what it costs God to bring them to Himself, to not turn away from that and go back into the world, but to hold on, to be faithful, to keep honoring Christ in their lives. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, Peter says, therefore, he says, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Live differently, Peter says. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere, brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. Much like Paul said, we preached and you believed. Believe. Be thankful. 1 John 1 tells us that even if we sin now, if we will confess, if we will repent, if we will turn away from that sin and go back, God will forgive us. that the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse every stain. And by His blood, we can overcome the power of sin and death. By His blood, we can become fully the children of God. And so again, that's something you and I, day by day, can think about. Day by day, we can be thankful. Day by day, we'll come to this at the end. We can let that stir something up in us. I will not give in. I will not let this discouragement, whatever it might be, overcome me. I will not let my guilt overcome me. I will not let this sin overcome me because of what Jesus has done in me and for me. Lord, help me to get back up and to rejoice in You and Your Spirit and Your Son. And so, let us do that. As Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 5, let's celebrate the feast, not with the old leaven, malice and wickedness, but again, goodness, love, joy. So praise God for the gift of His Son. Praise God for His grace. This verse is not in our hymnal. But again, it kind of encapsulates so many of these things we've been talking about. It says, all glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. And again, it's a great picture. Reminds me of what God talked about in Ezekiel, that He was going to send. He was going to be the shepherd, right? The shepherds of Israel had not done a good job. And God says, I'm going to be the shepherd. And I'm going to seek my sheep. I'm going to take care of my sheep. And this stanza reminds me of that, that God has sought us and bought us and guided our ways in Jesus. And when you and I think about that, in view of all that God has done and is doing and will do for us, what can we do except to praise Him for His amazing grace, His favor that we don't deserve, that we can't earn, that we can't provide for ourselves, but God does it. In Romans 12, Paul says He appeals to His brothers by the mercies of God, in view of what God has done, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. God is the God of all grace, right? The God of all comfort. Peter says that. Paul says that. He's able and willing to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He sought us out to save us, not because of what we had done, but in spite of it. In spite of it. You're valuable to God. And again, that's something we need to remember. Not because of what we have done or what we're going to do, but because we are made in the image of God. You are valuable to God. Again, that's why Christ died. That's why God went through all this work and effort. Because we have value before Him. And through Jesus, we have been raised from death to life. He bought us through the blood of Jesus to make us His own. There are several passages that talk about this. And again, these passages encourage us to live differently, to make different choices, because we should appreciate what God has done. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul calls the Corinthians to holiness and chastity and faithfulness in their sexuality. And he says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, and again the context is for them to flee sexual sin, to be away, to keep away from that because of who they are in Jesus. And Paul says, or do you not, let's just read verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Paul's the one in Acts 20 that talks about that. To the Ephesians, that Christ purchased the church with His own blood. So we have been bought God has bought us and sought us to make us His own. He continues to guide us and train us in His ways. Titus 2, we read it this morning, right? Grace of God's appeared, training us, teaching us. And if we'll listen and yield, the God of all grace will give us an inheritance that is safe. And we always take our stand in His grace and be thankful for it. And let it encourage us. Let it energize us again to keep going, to keep trusting, to keep believing, to keep serving, to keep striving for Jesus. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 1. Paul writes, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Again, God helps us to stand. He gives us what we need. We just need to stand, to trust, to be thankful, to remember. Praise God for His grace. The last stanza before the chorus, again, it brings us to this place where we ask God what the psalmist asked. Look at what God has done. Revive us. Renew us. Restore us, O God. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Again, I know all these things we just talked about. You know all these things we just talked about. But we do get discouraged. We hurt. We have pain. People that we love hurt, and they have pain. We find challenges. We get overwhelmed, and we can lose sight of these things and what they mean for us. We can lose our zeal, and our love can grow cold at times. We can become discouraged, and we can lose our hope. And at such times, we need to look to God, and we need to be revived. Revive us again. And God wants to do that. He wants to do that. Isaiah 57 is an example of this. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, the one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Do you see that? God talking to Israel there, I dwell on high, I dwell with the one who is lowly, who's hurting. I see, God says. Revive, renew, bring to life again. That's what God wants to do for you and for me. When we need it, He's there, He's ready. And sometimes we need to have our love and our faith renewed, don't we? I do. I do. And I bet you do too. And God's ready to help us in that way. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Again, Paul helps us to figure out ways of thinking, to adjust our thoughts. And again, that will adjust our behavior. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He's talking about how God had blessed him had, and the apostles to be these jars of clay who have the gospel and go out and do these amazing things with this message that God has given them. But they struggled. Paul struggled. And Paul says in verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Again, perspective. as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Again, we need to have our faith renewed, our mind renewed, our love renewed, because what we see is not all there is. But there's a great day coming. We need to be provoked to love and to good works. Again, that's what we're here to do for each other. We need God, as the stanza says, to rekindle that love, that faith in us with fire from above. And again, that evokes all kinds of imagery, doesn't it? Maybe you think about Pentecost and the Spirit, like tongues of fire. I think about the Word of God, what it says, how it testifies to the love of God and God's great and mighty work. We need God to light a fire in us sometimes, don't we? A raging, deep love for Him, for the Lord, and for people. We need that sometimes. It's a good thing. When you and I get together like this, we worship. I said it before. Get excited. Energized. I'm going to bottle that up and take it with me. So during the week when I don't feel that, I can get it again. And I can. And you can. We can go to God in prayer. We can go to the Word and read. We can remember. We can sing. We can call one another. We can do all those kinds of things. But I love the way Jeremiah talks about this, that message. And Jeremiah had a hard message, didn't he? He's the weeping prophet. People got mad at him, tried to kill him. And Jeremiah, he says, if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones when I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. Remember those disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus, they don't know it's Him. He's talking, and they talk about, did our hearts not burn within us while He talked to us about the Scriptures? It could do that for you and for me. Can we kindle? And I pray you and I will feast this year on the riches of His Word and the nourishment that comes from being part of a body like this. And when we feel like we've just worn out, we'll come to Him. And we'll get what He has that will help us. Revive us again. Simple hymn, but a great message. Stirs us up. We are the people of God. And we have reasons to be thankful. We have reasons to be joyful. Always. No matter how dark it is, because we have Jesus. We're not dead in our sins and trespasses. We are alive in Christ Jesus. And the chorus, hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Again, a great message. As we begin a new year together, let's look to the Lord to get stirred up. And when we find ourselves in those valleys, let's stir each other up. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Let's get back up. Let's keep going and doing our part. We'll plant and we'll water and we'll let God take care of the rest. If you're here tonight, we can encourage you in some way. We pray you come as we stand and as we sing.